Wednesday, August 26, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about a little something-something called how to use your creativity to capture the attention of a busy prospect. And you guys know how I like to roll, man. We're about, I don't know, about 45 seconds in, and we're going to get right down to business. This is going to be like these other podcasts, man. Sometimes 5, 6, 7 minutes in, and they're still talking about what they're going to be talking about, dicking around with their co-hosts and not giving you anything, man. Thank God you got a guy from New York here. Just likes to cut to the chase. But anyway, that was 53 seconds right there. That was too long. So, first of all, let's talk about why creativity is so important. I think the number one reason, in my not so humble opinion, would be that it allows you not to come across as yet another me too type of sales rep. Do you think there's a lot of me too type of sales reps contacting them by phone and email? Probably just by phone and email. Hopefully you're not just going by phone and email. If not, maybe today we can give you a few ideas. We want that ability to differentiate and to stand out. And all these little things that we can start to create, all these little tiny points of difference, by the time that sales cycle is over, man, that just amounts to like a mountain of difference, if there is such a thing. Next, I do believe that people, many people, not everyone, they're looking for creative solutions to some very real challenges in their business. Would you say that's the case with a lot of the people that you serve? That they really could use some creative solutions? So I could tell you all day long that if you wanted to hire me as your sales coach or your sales trainer, that I help my clients come up with some really creative solutions to their challenges. Hey, that's all well and good. And hopefully you'll believe me. Maybe I've created some rapport with you, riding shotgun with you all these weeks now on the podcast. But you know, the bottom line is I could tell you about stuff all day long, but how powerful is it when we demonstrate that creativity and then we demonstrate it actually really early in the process before you even decide to allow me to quote unquote come in to talk with you? So I think it's very, very important there. And the other reason why I think creativity is so important is that it can serve as a pattern interrupt. So in many ways, by the way, so the first way again is that, and I referenced it earlier, is that I believe buyers are used to this boring type of messaging, right? This kind of me too approach. And what is the me too approach? Well, I've often said, and have been guilty of, by the way, in the past, before like I kind of saw the light, I believe that there are two flavors of messages that us sales folks seem to cling to too tightly. One message, and it's not that we're saying it this way, but if you look through your emails and maybe messages you're sending out through LinkedIn, certainly when you pick up the phone and call them and speak with them live as opposed to dead, because that would be kind of creepy. Also, the voicemails and stuff that you're leaving. The messaging, to me, takes on two flavors. Number one, I'd like to sell you something. Message number two is I'd like to make an appointment with you so I can sell you something. See, that's a formula for boring the hell out of people. But they're used to that pattern. They're kind of expecting to be bored and lacking a wow. So the fact that you come along with something that's actually creative can break that pattern. It can interrupt that pattern. But the other way that creativity can really interrupt the pattern is when you're getting blown off and people are going silent and they're not getting back to you, or they're just not giving you the time of day. You come in there with kind of a creative left hook and you might kind of draw them out. And that's all we could ask for, right? Because once we at least get them responding, well, then we can pick up the pace. So that's sort of my feelings about it. There's a lot more reasons why I'm a big advocate of creativity, but you know, that's all theoretical stuff. I mean, let's get into some practical things here. So how the heck can you use creativity to capture the attention of some busy buyers that are out there? I'm going to give you a few examples, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about how you can work the creativity muscle. So the first thing, I've seen a lot of people do things with food items, by the way. And there's one website that's pretty cool, and I want you to check them out. And the name of the website is ChocoNet1.com. 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 Spelling Bee Champ, 1977. Uncle Paul. ChocoNet1.com. And somebody actually paid me $20 to repeat the hell out of that, which I just did. So I just made another $20. But anyway, what's really cool about that ChocoNet1 website, you'd think I was affiliated with them. I'm not, honest to God. They will do some really cool things with chocolate. I mean, do you even have to do anything cool with chocolate other than eat it? But seriously, they can do a chocolate version of your business card. I've seen some sales reps who have had chocolate feet made up, and they play on that, you know, that old kind of cliche, trying to get a foot in the door. Someone I've worked with, the lovely and talented Rich Fallar, he had some chocolate ears made up because he sells to audiologists. And he had sent those along, very well received. See, my challenge with that is that I swear to you, I did this. We bought years ago, years and years and years ago, when I still had hair, we bought a whole mess of chocolate business cards. And I think I personally ate maybe 20% of them. I'm not sure. That was the beginning of my weight problem. But and I make no apologies for that, because the people I work for were dirtbags. So, you know, call it severance pay or something. So that's one thing. I'm a big advocate of the giant cookie. And you can go to your local baker and ask them to do this. I think there's some places online as well. And you can have a giant cookie made up, and you could have it inscribed with something like, "We want to take a bite out of your business." And by the way, as a creative type of thank you for some of your existing clients, or after that first job or whatever it is, you could have a giant cookie made up with a little inscription, "Thank you for letting us take a bite out of your business." There's a company called Western Litho, and they're out of Houston. And they did something really cool with a pen. They went to one of those promotional products company, and they had these really nice pens inscribed, you know, with their company name and logo and stuff like that. I don't mean those crappy click pens that you get like 10,000 of them for like 67 cents a piece or whatever the heck they are, right? I mean like nice pens that like had a little weight to them, nice feel. Something you could bring to a fight, man. Like that scene in Anchorman. Like something like substantial enough that you could take on somebody with like a trident or something like that. But they had these really nice pens made up. And what they did, and it came in a nice little case and everything like that. Like I want a nice pen that comes with a holster. That's like, you know, sword sheath or something like that. Anyway. But they had these like really came in these nice boxes. So what they did was they removed the bottom of the pen, and they just had the top of the pen in this very nice box with a note in there, and it was saying something along the lines, I forget exactly how it was worded, but they talked about something with marketing and how good marketing captures one's attention, hopefully the way this captured yours. For the business end of this pen, and a few ideas that we're confident could help you with your business, please take my call on such and such a day. I'm going to be calling you to set up a quick appointment or whatever. Or, you know, give me a call and left the person's contact number. Now, I'm really paraphrasing there. So any of my friends from Western Litho listens to that. That's not what we said. Well, whatever, man. I'm mentioning you in my podcast, man. Is that not enough? But anyway, they sent that out. And what's really good about that is that, you know, it's funny. The brain really loves a good mystery. I want you to think about that. It kind of intrigues on two levels in a way. I mean, number one, it's kind of tempting to get the other end of a nice-looking pen, right? So you can actually use the damn thing. That's going to be a paperweight or something. And the other thing is that whole hinting that we have some ideas. And I call that concept Potato chips, because potato chips make you hungry, right? You can't just eat one. You need the whole damn bag. Or, for the popcorn fans out there, you call it popcorn. I like potato chips better, though. I mean, not so much when I'm watching TV. Like tonight, that whole Walking Dead prequel, anybody else out there going to be... I'm going to be watching it. Popcorn for that. But I mean that I like the sound of, you know, giving a potato chip. I just think giving popcorn, I don't know, sounds lightweight. That's not good. So anyway, so that's one of the things that I would consider doing. You know, I have a client that I'm going to call Kevin because his name is Kevin, and I'm very creative like that. And what he did was, I'm not going to give him all the credit because he's really following my lead on this. He decided to take a picture. Well, he didn't take the picture. He had somebody else take it of him. Picture him kind of staring at the computer screen. And I believe he had another picture where he was staring at the phone. And in each case, he was kind of looking at it. Imagine, like, his hands kind of up in the air, like, you know, what the, you know what, right? Like, why isn't this person, like, emailing me back or calling me? So imagine how you would look like in that moment. And what Kevin did was he had those pictures, so it was kind of evergreen. In other words, he could use them over and over and over again. So when somebody would just kind of go silent and start blowing him off, or when somebody wasn't getting back to him, he now had a two-touch mini campaign on his hands. Because what he could do now is just throw a caption in there, and the one where he's staring at the phone, I thought for sure Uncle Paul would call me, a little call-out action. And then still, because, you know, I can be a bit of a prick, and I don't get back to him, then he could always follow up with, I thought, for sure, Uncle Paul would write. So he had some fun with it. You got to admit, now let's just do a quick timeout. You may not agree with some of these, and that's okay, because I'm not doing this to say, and therefore today is the day I announce I'm quitting sales training to be the next David Ogilvy. I will now be the next most creative, like, copywriter in the world. Hell no. But you got to admit, it's a hell of a lot more creative than calling to check in. Or, yes, this is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. We're a full service, end to end, one source, blah, 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 blah. You got to admit, it's better. You know, and plus, you know, seriously, man, I got to applaud the guy, man. You know, to have the balls to do something like that. And you have to, too. Seriously, they do not want another me. Do you want me too in your life? I don't. Plenty of me too out there. I want something different. And I believe that people are always processing that. See, I had to say that again. I was so emotional about it. I was actually tearing up there. I don't know if you guys noticed that. But seriously, like, people are always processing that question. What is the difference between you and 10,000 other people? What makes you better? What makes you different? What makes you unique? Why should I stop doing what I'm doing right now to entertain what you have to say, right? Like, what's the difference? So that's something that I want you to think about. You know, so that's something that really, really comes in handy. You know, one of my clients, and I'm going to call him Rich because his name is Rich. And one of the things that we've been doing together, and yeah, I am going to give you a little brief commercial. He actually picked up this technique in our How to Hunt for Business More Effectively course. One of the things we talk about in that course is how you can use an embedded video in your email to stand out. So he's been having a lot of success with that. And I have to tell you, the thing that makes me most proud of Rich as my coaching client is that he's taken the idea and he really ran with it and he made it his own, which is all I could ever hope for, by the way, because, you know, I already have the monopoly on being Paul Castain. And the last thing we need are a bunch of Paul Castain clones, because nobody can do the whole Paul Castain thing better than me, because I don't know, because I'm Paul Castain. And I would venture to say nobody is going to, just imitate you better than you. So, you know, my thought is that maybe you can use some video in there. Make it 1 minute or less. Call them by name. But it's important you embed it into your email. If you were sitting in front of me, and I almost said this, but I almost said, do you know why? And then, again, I would have you talking to your computer or talking in your car. But I want you to think for a moment. So we make this a tiny bit interactive. Why I would say that? Why embed the video? Why not just put a link? And the reason is, see, I'm going to let you off the hook now. The reason is because people many times don't trust a link from somebody they really don't know. But if you embed the video right there, it also, it's going to intrigue them. Like, well, what the hell is this, right? So it's something that could really come in handy. And there's some specific things that I would recommend that you say in that video. And some of the things we do teach, not some of the things, all of the things we do teach in that upcoming course, it's actually going to be starting up next month. And I'll be talking about it at the end of the podcast. But just in case you're like me and you get impatient, if you want to kind of learn a little bit more about that course, if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore, all the juicy details, complete course outline is right there. But anyway, those are some things right there. But now I want to go a step further. Let's talk. Those are some examples. There's not a gazillion examples here. But one of the resources that I'm going to include, in fact, I'm going to tell you two resources that I'm going to include in the show notes. In fact, I'm going to keep going back and forth on you. No, it's going to be one. I'm going to give you two resources, but only one of them I'm going to list in the show notes. I'll explain why in a minute. But one of the resources is I'm going to put a link to a discussion that we're having in my LinkedIn group. And by the way, if you guys haven't stopped by the LinkedIn group in a while, or if you haven't joined, you're really missing out. We have now 51,000 aspiring sales rock stars hanging out, sharing ideas and stuff. It's a spam-free environment. You guys should know by now. I don't allow any of that crap on my watch. But if you go to LinkedIn and look up Sales Playbook, you will find an incredible community. And by the way, everybody who joins, you automatically get a free LinkedIn webinar that I created where I talk about how to facilitate. Man, I cannot talk today. Again, you would think that like I am loaded when I'm doing these podcasts. I think I'm going to. I am threatening this for a while. I'm going to get hammered from now on when I'm doing this. And I don't know, man. Maybe I'll get more ratings from you guys on iTunes if I do this or whatever. But anyway, we have a discussion up right now in the LinkedIn group. And the question is, tell us about a time when you used a creative approach to, you know, get in the door, close the deal type of thing. And we're probably up to about 25 comments in there right now. So I want you to stop by, look at what some of your peers are doing. The other resource I am not going to put a link to in the blog and in the show notes. And here's why. I know I'm being dicky right now, but, you know, again, it's just, you got to let me go with it. There's a lot of lazy people out there that are not going to take the time to listen to a free audio sales lesson. And they're going to take all the shortcuts they can and just click on the links. And I just don't want to encourage that. To me, I would rather encourage you guys that actually care enough about your learning to, imagine this, attend a free audio sales lesson. I know, it's horrible that I would make you do this. But I don't want to reward them. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you right now to pull a car over. I want you to write down my email address, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. If you write to me and ask me for the 40 ways to use your creativity resource, I am going to send you a link to, just as the title implies, that's how creative I am. There are 40 ways here that are going to help you with your creativity. And my hope when I put this together was to inspire you to start creating some better ideas of your own. So that's a resource that's available to you. But now let's talk a little bit about, like, I want to teach you how to fish here a little bit and how you can become a bit more creative. So the first thing, I mean, you know, before we get into like some exercise and stuff like that, I do have to say something. This is really important. I almost skipped over this. You know, there is a mistake that people make. There are two, probably at least two, but two that I want to talk about right now. Mistakes that people make when it comes to creativity. The first one is they do kind of a siloed approach. In other words, it's just this one creative act with no follow-up. And by the way, no context. to it. Like, it's almost like, and I make this joke all the time, but if you haven't been on the receiving end, you'll know that I'm really not far off. It's almost like, yes, thank you, Mr. or Miss, you know, salesperson, for the eggshells and pocket lint. I am not connecting the dots here. Like, what the hell? So, and no follow-up. So, no context to it. And no follow-up. And it's just like a siloed approach. So I'll tell you a quick story. And if the person who did this, I mean, it's like 2 years ago, my feeling is he moved on. If you recognize this to be you, please understand that it's not my intention to make anybody feel dumb or anything else, because I actually think what you did, it was pretty awesome. And just, you know, hear me out in the story, because I'm hoping maybe there's a free lesson in there for you. And also, I just want to say for the record, I hate pompous sales trainers. Again, here we go, mini rant. And I never want to sound that way. I don't want you ever to think the all-knowing Paul Castain. I promise everybody right now that I could out-dumb any of you. I have made some epically dumb mistakes in hunting business, saying stupid things throughout my career and everything else. You know, the difference is that, you know, for like over the last decade of my 30-something years now in sales, I've really made an effort not to repeat history and to learn and to get smarter and to just really dominate. So, you know, again, please don't take it as here goes another one of these pompous bloggers going on like he's got it all figured out and we're just underlings. Hell no. But anyway, so I receive this Superman's cape in the mail. It was probably about 2 years ago. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Right? And I think I mentioned this on a podcast now that I think of it, but I'm going to say it again. I get the Superman's cape. And, a really nice handwritten note on this person's company stationery, which I really liked. And he provided the context, by the way, because right away, remember, like, I mean, wouldn't you be sitting there like, hey, this is awesome, and, you know, like, a Superman's cape, why, right? Like, wouldn't you be doing that? You'd be like, what the hell, what is this? And me, you don't ever want to send a Superman's cape to, because, like, I could think of all kinds of childish stuff that I could do, you know, barroom fights and stuff. I mean, everything. I mean, even if, like, I mean, just giving somebody the opportunity to beat the hell out of Superman. I mean, how cool would that be, right? But anyway. So he even gave me the context, and he said, you know, Paul, I've been reading your blog and all this, and he said, I figured if anybody could be as busy as you and you know, traveling around and training all these aspiring sales rock stars, as many as you do, and be a devoted family man like you are, because I always like reading about, you know, your family and talking about, you know, your sons and your daughter and stuff like that, you must be Superman. And then he tied it in even further. And he said something, and I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of that, you know, coincidentally, that's what I do for my clients. There are things that I do for them that enable them to look like Superman and, you know, or Superwoman, you know, to their clients. And it was very well done. It was from the heart. It passed what I called the kitchen table test, meaning that it wasn't filled with marketing speak. It was like something you would say to somebody at the kitchen table over a coffee. So it was very, very well done. And it was so well done, and here comes the criticism, that I promptly forgot about it for about 2 years. In fact, it was about 3 years ago that this person sent this to me, now that I think of it. I forgot about it for about 3 years. And the way I remembered it is that when we launched that whole how to sell more effectively, I needed creative examples. And I remember, hey, didn't somebody send me a Superman cape? I didn't remember the guy's name or anything else, because there was never any follow-up. So that's one of the mistakes. And, you know, the thing that I want to say, I meet a lot of sales reps who get almost offended. Now, this guy didn't, as far as I know, but, you know, almost get like pissy, like, you know, like, why the hell didn't the guy call me back? I sent him a Superman's cape. You know, other people, it's like, you know, like, I sent that cookie, like you said, Paul, and this, you know, this asshat didn't, you know, even pick up the phone. Like, and I'm thinking, they don't owe you anything. So, you know, don't get offended. You should really, a better emotion to embrace is kind of, you know, the anticipation. You know, anticipate the fact that they are not going to respond. Most people aren't. They're too damn busy. It's not like they put you on a list and said, screw him. This is my screw you list. And, you know, screw Paul Castain for sending me a cookie. Like, you know, this idiot. Like who sent somebody a cookie, honestly? So, you know, it's not personal. But, you know, you have to count on that. Now, what this guy could have done better was calling me a few days later, having like thought it out ahead of time. And I call this process communication mapping. And that's another thing we teach in the course, is this concept of communication mapping, where we're premeditating the touches, what type of touch, what type of flavor that whole thing is going to have, like what we're going to say, what are we going to do, what action do we want as a result of it. And we map it out so that we don't neglect an opportunity, so that we don't sound like everyone else, so that we're not calling to quote unquote check in. And this guy could have called up, and let's just say, like, if he'd really done, like, thought this through, he'd realize that I own a business. Chances are you're not going to get me first shot on the phone. How about a voicemail, or even sending me an email that basically said, hey, quick, I'm awfully sorry, I forgot to tell you, you know, don't try to fly with that Superman cape. And the reason why I tell you that is because many of our clients feel like they could fly when we turn them into superheroes with their clients. Again, I have a few ideas that could dramatically impact your business, Paul. Please take my phone call. I'm going to be calling you on such and such a day. You know, I'm telling you, I would have taken his phone call if for no other reason than to say, hey, thanks, man. And by the way, high five, because that was like really freaking creative. Because it's not like I took that Superman's cape, handed it to my wife and said, do me a favor, hon, could you put it in the pile of all those other damn useless Superman's capes I get? I had one. That's it. What, my entire life, I have only been sent one Superman's cape, which I gave to my daughter, by the way. And she's a nutcase, like a father. And one night, you know, she's like 17 now. She's hanging out with the girlfriends right here at Casa de Castain. She orders Domino's and decided to answer the door in a Superman's cape. And she also had on, I think, a Power Rangers mask, which I think that person might be in therapy right now, because that would freak me the hell out. I would run, drop the pizzas, and go. But anyway, so that's something. But let's now talk a little bit about, very quickly, how do you become more creative? So the very first thing that I want you to consider is a problem-solving question that I've mentioned here. It's fill in the blank. And the question is, in what ways can I? And you fill in the blank. And in this case, it would be, what ways can I become more creative? You could even get more specific. In what ways can I get more creative with the phone? What ways can I get more creative with my emails? You could even drill down even further. In what ways could I get more creative with the ABC company? What ways could I finally get in to see people at the XYZ company? So that's something. The other thing, too, is you want to start working these creativity muscle groups. And, you know, a few times a week, have some quiet thinking time. No phones ringing. I like mine after dinner, as I've mentioned many times before. A little cigar, maybe an adult beverage out on the patio, right? I know it's a shock. Yes, I drink on occasion. And so you could do that. But, you know, have some fun with it and get relaxed and make some good playlists on your iPhone or in your smartphone. And, you know, like, I have playlists, and I have different ones that help me through different things. And I'll tell you the ones that work for me. Don't judge me, by the way, because you're not going to be able to figure out my musical taste here. For a guy who's been playing the guitar, came up playing heavy metal and with some guitar gods that he worshipped, like Yngwie Malmsteen and Van Halen and the like, I'm going to throw you off the trail a little bit here. For me, some of the things that really work well for me, just to kind of get me in a relaxed state, and I'm going to tell you why being relaxed works, is I'll listen to things like New Age. Not like regularly. Like, I'm not going to listen in the car, but like when I want to get relaxed enough so that my brain doesn't have like the inhibitions and the rules and judges' answers and stuff, I'll listen to some new age. Classical music works extremely well. I particularly like that when I'm studying for things and when I'm trying to hyperlearn a lot of content, maybe for some upcoming things that I'm going to be doing. One of the things that I do, and this is kind of crazy, but I'll listen to, a lot, and I forgot the damn name of the music, the type of music. They play it at, like, a lot of the raves and things like that, a lot of that that techno type of stuff. I will, because what's nice about it is that it can just help me tune things out. And by the way, just a very quick thing, I don't know if there's any fans of that movie, The Social Network. The Social Network. There was a scene in that movie when somebody approached somebody on Mark Zuckerberg's team. The guy had headphones on. He was, like, really deep into his work. And the guy just, like, kind of, like, didn't even say anything. He just, like, waved the brushed the person off. And Zuckerberg said, oh, man, he's wired in right now. Leave him alone. And they call that wired in, where it's just like you're tuning everything out and you've got this music. And a lot of people, when they wire in, they'll listen to a lot of, like, the techno type of music and things like that. You can use any kind of music you want, but I'll do that sometimes. I'll kind of wire in when I'm trying to get a lot of stuff done, when I'm writing a lot of content, but I'll also, it helps me with my creativity. So that's one of the things you could do. Now, as far as being relaxed, it's very, very important, because again, your brain doesn't have a lot of rules. So you want to have a pad and pen by your bed. Because sometimes when you first wake up in the morning, you ever have, like, you had something, like it was a weird dream or an idea or something like that. Sometimes when you go to bed at night, like right before you go to sleep. In fact, there was a story about, I don't know if I ever told it, but it, like, you know, tough if I did. Thomas Edison used to, and I've heard this story told many ways, so forgive me, you know, I'm probably butchering it, but the gist will be the same. He used to many times fall asleep standing up. And I heard one story where he held like some kind of a metal ball in his hand, another one like a tray with a bunch of instruments on it, said the moment he would fall asleep, he would drop it, wake himself up in that moment, and he would immediately write down whatever the hell he was thinking about. And he got a lot of great ideas that way. I don't know that I would recommend doing that. And if you start doing it at the office, please don't drag me into it. I'm already in a lot of trouble with your HR departments. The other thing is, one of the best ways that you're going to get better at creativity is by working the muscles, like going to the gym. So, you know, get in the habit of asking yourself that question. In what ways could I use creativity to, and then fill in the blank. Sales managers, you really should be having a sales meeting about this here and there. You could take this podcast and you could play it for everybody. And then, you know, ask that question. In what ways could we be more creative in our approach? And that's just not a one-off type of sales meeting. You should be doing them like at least once a quarter. You should be celebrating creative approaches. You should be challenging them. I'm challenging your group. I want everybody to come back with one creative approach. You're going to share it in the next sales meeting. I had also heard about a really cool exercise, and I have tried this, and a lot of my coaching clients have tried this, and they've come back with rave reviews. One of the things that I had heard, that one way that you can start working the creativity muscles is find different ways and creative ways to thank your clients beyond the thank you card. So think about that. Think about other ways. That's a nice way to kind of jolt your creativity. So that's something that I want you to think about. And last but not least, you need to understand something about creativity in general, is that creativity usually doesn't make an appointment to give you an idea. Right, so it's not like, hey, Uncle Paul, I have an idea I want to give you. It's me, Creativity, talking. You remember me? Yeah, I remember you, Creativity. What's up, man? Yeah, I want to stop by and give you an idea. I know you're taking your son back to college this week, but is it all right if I stop by on Sunday? Yeah, Creativity, yeah, come by if you want. You know, or later tonight, man. I'll bring the beer. It doesn't work that way. It shows up. And half the time we miss it because we're running. So you have to be in a position to capture these, because if you don't, you condition your brain not to give you cool things. So one recommendation that I have is that if you're all about the smartphone, use the recording app or use Dragon Dictation or use Evernote or something like that. If you want to old school it, write it down, but you need to capture it somewhere. I can tell you that, I mean, I'm pretty good at this, writing down ideas. So much so that at any given time in the back of my journal, I think I have about 60 different blog topics. And I didn't start off with 60. You know, I'm hanging out, I get an idea. I'm in an airport, I get an idea. Somebody calls me up, I get an idea. It just shows up, man. Can't turn it off. And I don't want to turn it off. I need it to keep coming, man. That's how I'm making the money. So you have to capture these things. And also, too, don't be so quick to judge the ideas that you come up with, because, again, you're conditioning the brain to have rules and to have limitations. I really don't care what kind of an idea I get. Like, you know, okay, Paul, the way you can do it is dress up in a chicken suit and do a YouTube video. I'm writing it down. I'm going to eliminate it later on and make a note, like, not to have that third tequila. But you know, but while I'm thinking of it, you never want to do that. And sales managers, if you have that meeting that I was telling you about, don't you dare go and gun down an idea. Just like capture them all. But then when you revisit it, after you kind of sleep on it, to me, that's where a big part of the creative process can take place, because, you know, you might look at it and say, oh, man, that's a silly idea. But then you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. You know, is there something different that I could do here? Is there a variation? Is this something I could do that's less over the top? Could I expand upon this idea? Could I reverse it somehow? You know, there's all different types of things. In fact, one last thing. You know, look up. Google this term, the scamper technique. The scamper technique. And that'll give you a lot of ideas on how you can, you know, do things with brainstorming and come up with other ideas. And some of that might be able to apply to how you're hunting for business. So before you go, I just want to let you know that I have a ton more on this subject. And we're actually going to be talking about this next month in September's class, How to Hunt More Effectively. It's an online program. We have 9 sessions. And we're going to be talking about things like how you can send a better email. I mean, you guys send a lot of emails, right? Do you think the people that are receiving your emails get a lot? Well, I'm going to talk to you about a lot of things that you can do, from the subject line to how you're greeting people. One way that I have found, actually probably about 3 or 4, maybe even 5 ways that I have gotten like a really good response from my emails. A lot of mine get responded to. So I want to talk to you about that. We're going to talk about phone calls, too, because that's an important part of the mix. But you see, this is where we're going to go beyond what a lot of sales programs do. Most sales programs and most salespeople harp way too much on phone calls and emails. There's a whole world out there aside from it. So I'm not looking to replace those things. I want to show you how you can complement them and certainly not go after it like a siloed approach that we talked about earlier, like with the creativity. So we're going to be talking about things like referrals. How about traditional networking, social networking, snail mail? Yes, this whole creativity thing, I have like a 90-minute session on this for you. I have 10 places that I'm going to share with you to look for new business. When I have this session alone, it's session number 1, I get a lot of feedback saying, oh my God, like I have never thought of that, and it applies perfectly to my business. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put all of these things together into a plan where all of these approaches work together. That is another big challenge that a lot of sales reps have, again, with these siloed approaches. Like, you know, they might do something creative. They'll probably do a few emails. They'll probably do a few phone calls. But how do you get them to truly work together into a campaign without becoming like a full-time marketing person? But anyway, we're going to be talking about all this. And next month, in our How to Hunt More Effectively program, if you want to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. One more time, yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. And yes, we discount whenever you enroll 2 or more people. And yes, we also throw in some cool extras when you enroll 5 or more. So you get the discount and some cool extras that I throw in on the house, compliments of your Uncle Paul. If you would like to learn more about the special pricing, I want you to email me with a ballpark figure of how many people you're looking to put into the program. You can email that to paul@yoursalesplaybook.com one more time, and then we're getting the hell out of here. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And speaking of which, I'm Paul from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.